Good morning, 97.1. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass. It's a Tuesday. Feeling good after last night. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine up until Heather's trying to steal my workspace here.
Heather,
finally got my internet back and I got people pushing stuff in my face.
Oh, okay. I have so many papers here. I need a little bit more room.
I know. Just as you were opening the show, she moved the call button thing here a little bit closer, and I thought, I'm going to take my armrest back a little bit here, like we're on a flight.
What was the rule on that, by the way, on the flights?
If you're in the middle seat, you get both armrests.
Yeah, if you're next to me, you're screwed.
Shoot.
That's how it goes. It's my life rule.
So we're
one
feeling
to live by.
We're feeling good. It's a Tuesday, which means two grand slam. Later in the show, you'll have a shot to win $2,000. All week long, Chris Stapleton tickets. Be listening for that later in the show. We're going to spend a bunch of time on the wings today. It feels like it's time to talk about them a little more seriously.
You mean our first place wings?
Yeah, our first place Detroit Red Wings with the most points in the Eastern Conference with a win last night against the Hurricanes. Got kind of squirrely late, but John, they won the game. They won the game on Fedorov night.
Yeah. They're up by three, and I'm thinking to myself, all right, yeah, hey, we can enjoy the moment.
Yep.
This is, how many times have we seen, like, you know, when somebody passes, that's a big part of the organization. I played against New York when their owner died, and all of a sudden, hey, they come out, they light you up for 45. Last game at Three Rivers against Pittsburgh, they light you up. Now, we weren't a very good team, but it's kind of one of those nights where you, and all of a sudden you're thinking, hey, everything is falling the Red Wings' way, right? It's 3-0, and then it's 3-1. Then it's 3-2, and then in the last couple of minutes, it's 3-3. Damn it!
Look, when they scored their first one, you go, okay, I'm going to have to lock
in. Can we just end this now, please?
Because the way Carolina plays, they possess the puck, they outshoot everybody they play, they're relentless, they're buzzing, they're in your zone, you just don't want to give them life. And the first goal gave them life. A Larkin turnover gave them a shorthanded goal, mm-hmm. And now you're going, we got to bear down. I thought it was a bit of a love tap called penalty on Raymond, but then a legit penalty on Sherratt, and it's 5-on-3, and you knew they were going to score a goal.
Yeah.
You knew with 5-on-3 with that team they were going to tie it up. It was just about getting out of there with the 2 points. And did we get away with one late? Did Andrew Kopp cross-check in front of the net before scoring? Sure he did. But John, win's a win, and it keeps the vibes high, and it was a great night, and it started with Sergei Fedorov.
It was a great night, and it's been a fun year.
Mm-hmm.
We're We are over halfway of the regular season, running downhill, sitting there in sole possession of first place. Now, obviously, the same amount of points as Carolina, but you got the tiebreaker.
Right, and I think if you look at the standings, Tampa's played fewer games and has a higher, but we don't need to
with
do that.
The minutia.
I don't want to get bogged down in that today. Let's start with Fedorov, and we'll get into the wings as the show unravels here. And we're eventually going to do a car flag check,
mm-hmm.
to measure the buy-in from this city and this fan base right now.
And what have I been kind of following over the course of this? The last month. Right, it's the Detroit Red Wings where, hey, they're in first in the Atlantic, and then all of a sudden, hey, they're just below the cut line because everything was so tight. And then it was they had a 4-point buffer above the cut line. Then yesterday we were talking about a 6-point buffer. Now with that win, and again, I'm not going to just jump to conclusions, but it's an 8-point buffer. And to your point, right, games in hand, all of those things matter. So tonight it could be 6, but. Yeah. You've got to consistently increase that buffer so that when you get to the month of March and they're back from the Olympic break and they start to enter into the mind of the players, hey, this is what happened over the last 3 years. Now, not all those guys were here, but enough of them to where does it start to creep in and say, oh, man, we don't want to lose this, and they start clutching their pearls, hey, they've got themselves a buffer, and now they've got Todd McClellan that seems to be the guy that, you know, after two or three games, he resets the standard.
Yeah, and I think there's another gear with the young players that we haven't seen yet. I mean, I think Kasper having a down year, can he find it in the second half of the season here? Finney playing up on the first line. Not seeing a ton of offensive production, but is there another gear there? Danielson's no longer here in Detroit. He's in Grand Rapids. Does he get another stint before the end of the year? There's another gear, but just playing the way they're playing right now is good enough. Like, I would emphasize that. Like, at this point in the season, you can't ask for much more than what we've seen from this team. You have a legitimate number one goaltender in John Gibson, who's been the best goalie in hockey since December 1st. You have a legit shutdown pair. We emphasized how important defense was going to be. Mm-hmm. When you played damn near half the game with Sider and Edvinson on the ice, you're in a great advantage position. Their penalty kill went from the worst in the league to league average,
yeah,
which isn't special, but it makes a difference.
Well, it's all those little things that, hey, just a little bit better than last year. Because what did they need last year?
A little more.
One more point.
Yeah.
They just needed a little bit more. And now hopefully you're not, you know, battling for those last 1 or 2 points at the end of the season.
I'll give you another thing that's better. Kopp got hurt last year. And he's playing like a legit second center. He's a point per game or just shy, 19 points in his last 20 games, and he had two last night, including the game winner. Like, these are the things that add up. James Van Riemsdyk scores the first goal of the game. He's got more goals this year than Vladimir Tarasenko had all of last year. Again, these little things that add up. So at this point, I can't have asked for much more than what we've seen so far.
So the big thing that people were holding against them was, first off, point separation in the conference. It's eight points now. They're into a playoff spot. That's a pretty legitimate amount at this point. They've blown that. But I think we have to start treating this team as this team only and stop worrying about previous seasons and holding that.
Easier said than done, yeah, but yes.
But no, I think it's time to break that right now. They've got 60 points in 47 games. Mm-hmm. If you get a point per game the rest of the way.
I feel like we've done that game before, but yes.
I mean, it's kind of like, and the other thing that people have been holding against them was the goal differential. It is now positive +4.
Yep.
+4. The reason it was so out of whack was because their goaltending was so bad.
Early in the year,
if they're the team that they are since Gibson has been playing well, December, it's kind of like the team that played football last night, the Texans. At some point in their bad season, early in the season, and it took a long time for people to buy it.
Right.
And now are you going to buy it again? And are you going to buy, you know, and it's like.
Well, I'm certainly buying a team with two really good edges.
Well, geez. He did. Wait. Oh, sorry. Oh, what? Yeah. come on.
Can't even find it. It's been so long.
Yeah, geez. Got me all rattled alarm. Over here.
Holy moly, John.
Wow, that was incredible.
You're welcome. I do have it in me. I just don't use it very much.
So. At this point, I don't understand why you wouldn't buy in. What, you're not buying in because you don't want to get burned?
No, I think, and I don't want to be this guy today, but I think the argument would be they're not as good as their peak. Their peak is what they've done from December on. They're probably somewhere in between the start and today, and I think they have enough of a cushion to get in, but we've seen them have a cushion like this before, right?
Right, but at some point... All the evidence is stating that they aren't that team.
What if I told you they had a higher save percentage as a team 2 years ago?
That makes me pause a little bit.
Okay.
But they weren't as good of an offensive team 2 years ago.
I think they're also
Sider
a better
wasn't as well.
I think they're also a better defensive team.
You just can't get there, can you?
I'm in route. I'm in route. I'm on the highway to that point, John. I'm in route. We're going to spend a bunch of time talking about it.
I pointed out at the beginning of the week, well, maybe it was the end of last week, where you slipped and you started talking positively about the playoffs. And you started talking positively about the month of March. You said
and
the word.
I said it out loud.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. It's an ongoing evolution.
Jinx them over the weekend.
No.
A nice win on Saturday. Nice win last night.
No, I think it's an ongoing evolution as you buy more into this hockey team, as they deserve more buy-in from this fan base. And last night was a great crowd. Last night, everybody got there early. Everybody was there to celebrate Sergei Fedorov.
Mm-hmm.
And John, I don't know if you... saw some of the ceremony.
Yeah, I tuned in for I didn't see all of it, but I did tune in for some of it, and there were some great moments.
Fedorov is the ultimate showman. Comes out in the Corvette. He's working the crowd, working the room. You got a sense of humor. His speech, I thought, was great. And they really tapped into all of the 90s nostalgia. Karen Newman singing the national anthem.
Yeah.
They're all wearing 91 in the warm-ups with the white skates. Like, the only thing that was missing was an octopus on the ice, but they really did capture. I thought it was first class last night.
I 100% agree. And it brought back, and I don't know how many people did this. Yesterday, I was, you know, thinking about the night ahead, and I think it was the Free Press that put an excerpt from, you know, one of the books that was written about the Russian Five and about the defection of Sergei Fedorov from, you know, what had happened in Seattle and him getting to Chicago and getting to Detroit and all these different things. You get a chance to go back and read and watch some of these, you know, and the Russian Five, or was it the Russian Five? Yeah, the documentary that was done, and you can find it's on really Amazon good. Prime. Yeah, it's free. You don't have to pay for it like you do have Heather's movie. and so you can actually watch it. But it's you're like the sister I never wanted.
Oh, my goodness. What did I do to you today this when I walked in here? Yeah,
I well, you started Jeez. Encroaching on my space here.
How dare you.
And, no, I know. I'm just kidding. And so, it brought you the ability to go and relive some of those moments. And last night, to your point of Karen Newman doing the national anthem and all the different things, it kind of felt like you were put back into the early 90s.
And Hockey Town's at center ice.
Yeah.
And they're beating the team with the most points in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah. Sorry, Heather.
It's okay.
Cheap shots. On a Tuesday morning. I should have waited until Thursday morning to take all these cheap shots.
Your favorite day.
Yeah.
But anyway, 248-539-9797. The Red Wings are going to be a big part of what we do on the show today. We're going to gauge the buy-in and talk about a team with the most points in the Eastern Conference, a first-place hockey team. Not can they get in the playoffs hockey team, but a team sitting in first place this morning. 248-539-9797. Some of your phone calls, some of your texts. We also have a fun football game to play today. Tom has a switcheroo question.
Ooh. You ought to be good at this. Can we call it? Can we switch it to the swapperoo?
Yeah, we're doing QB swap.
Swapperoo.
It's going to be a Jared Goff playoff QB switcheroo conversation at 6:35.
They're all on that cruise ship. Which QB do you want?
Which cabin you going to?
Uh-huh. Now it's so much more weird. It's 97.1. Better off on why he wore number 91. 91 is where it belongs. Up in the rafters, Little Caesars Arena last night. Wings win the game in overtime. Andrew Kopp got away with the cross check, buries the game-winning goal, and the Wings have the most points of any team in the Eastern Conference, a first-place hockey team. John, some text pouring in.
Okay.
Wings win again. Fedorov night. The city's starting to get hockey fever. There's a lot of juice.
There is a lot of juice. There's, you know, we've talked about the juice with the Pistons, especially after the Knicks win last Monday night, and then with the Wings win on Saturday. Obviously last night there was a lot of buildup, and we've been talking about the, you know, the decade that has been no playoffs, and then you bring back a guy that just owned the town, owned the NHL, multiple cups, and it does feel like, hey, there is a lot of juice moving forward. And as much as I like the Olympics, I'm somewhat disappointed that there's going to be this 3.5 week stint where we don't get Red Wings hockey.
Yeah, especially if they're playing this well. You don't want them to cool down. Tech says, got outplayed and still won. I hope Yzerman is looking for a forward and a defenseman. Go Wings.
The discussions about the trade deadline will heat up for a first place team. We talked about it already with the Pistons. Now we're talking about it with the Red Wings. Like, this is what you do when you are in a position to make a run in the postseason.
Well, you got to take some chances. That's actually one of the things Sergei Fedorov brought up last night during his speech. Got to take some chances. Nope. And as you get better, you feel better about taking those chances.
John, you mentioned the Olympic break. They only have 11 games before that. And then
I know it's going to come quick.
They've got all this time off in February, and then there's only 4 games before the trade deadline. They play the night of the trade deadline.
So 15 games before the trade deadline.
Yeah. I mean, if they sustain this rate of success for the next 9-10 games here or going into that.
Yep.
Like, I mean, they've earned a move, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they have. Earned,
like, versus previous seasons where Yzerman was kind of sitting on a fence, I'm not sure how good this team is, and I'm probably not going to be that aggressive.
And there's extra time for him to spend all the time he wants to analyze, to call, and to build those plant the seed, build the possibility of bringing someone here.
I wonder if they put a freeze on making transactions during the Olympics. Can you imagine you're an Olympian and you get traded?
You got to coordinate everything when you get home. Yeah. A couple more texts. Guys, I'm cautiously buying into this Red Wing team. DeBrincat has played this way most of the year. He could take a run at 50 goals. Kopp and Compher have actually been a solid 2 and 3 center. Rasmussen's even chipped in. They're getting production from four lines and decent play from the defense. The X factor is Gibson. If he keeps this standard, the Wings are in the playoffs and says they still could add at the deadline.
Mm-hmm. Still should add at the deadline, I would say.
Yeah, still need to add at the deadline is what the text says. This one goes, Costa en route with one of two car flags. We're going to do a car flag count coming up later in the hour. But I think you deserve to talk about this team. They've played as well as you could have asked at this point in the season. 248-539-9797. Joey in White Lake, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
Good.
Good. I was at the game last night. Great atmosphere. Great to see Fedorov get retired. But, Jim, I'm on your lines. I'm not buying in until the end of March, until there's an X in the standings that says we're in the playoffs.
So it's going to take they locked it in before you fully believe that this is a team that can be in the playoffs?
Yes, sir. It's I've had my heart broke real bad where I sit on a couch after that game when they get kicked out of the playoffs and you just sit there and stare at the TV and go, what could they have done better? And I believe they're one centerman and one defenseman away from being a really good playoff team.
Okay.
Yeah, look, I mean, I've gotten all sappy about what this team in the playoffs would look like, and that was 2 years ago. And then I did it again last year, and I can feel myself starting to do it again this year, and it's just a good check of, like, hey, it's a long season. They're playing as hot as anybody.
But it's okay.
To be excited, I am.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay because I don't think there's anybody sitting there going, this team is a Stanley Cup contender.
Right.
So at some point we know our heart's going to be broken. We'd rather it be broken in the playoffs. We just don't know how it's going to happen.
Yeah, and just a last note on that, and we'll spend more time later. This text, it says, the crowd yesterday was awesome. Shout out to the crowd. It shows how hungry this city is for playoff hockey. The players have brought that up too. Dylan Larkin brought that up in December about how the crowds are getting louder.
Yeah.
They're giving them a reason to show up, and they're just scratching the surface because this place, it was built to be a playoff hockey atmosphere. We just haven't had it yet. Could be this season. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Good morning to most of you.
And John.
Yes, I deserve it.
And John. Uh-huh. This news is brought to you by Gardner White. Well, a man is now in police custody after a missing girl who ran away from her Monroe County home last week was located with him. So according to the Monroe County Sheriff's Office, the 14-year-old girl was reported missing on Friday. Her family was able to track that her last known location was at a Meijer in Monroe. So deputies went to that Meijer. Unfortunately, she was not there anymore, but they were able to obtain some security video that showed that she and a man got into a vehicle and drove away. Well, license plate readers were able to be used to track the vehicle, and they learned it was an Uber. So they were able to talk to that Uber driver who gave them some information, which led deputies to the pair. So the man was arrested for harboring a juvenile runaway, and the girl was returned to her family. So far, it's unclear if the man is going to face any additional charges. The first Chick-fil-A in downtown Detroit is opening on Thursday. So the restaurant, which is located in the First National Building right outside of Campus Martius, will open 6 days a week at 8 a.m. And according to a press release, this restaurant has created 110 jobs and did recently make a $50,000 donation to three area nonprofits. So pretty cool. So like I said, starting Thursday, the new location will be open 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Thursday, and then 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. Friday and Saturday.
That's cool.
I still have never been. I probably never will.
Really?
Well, what am I getting? I mean, fries. You know,
they have great fries. I love the waffle fries.
Yeah.
They have a salad, and I think you can get it without chicken. They also have a fruit cup.
Yeah, the more you talk through it, I
milkshake.
Don't know.
Yeah. Do you like milkshakes?
Okay, I could do a fry and a milkshake. Otherwise, the salad from a fast food restaurant.
Trust me, I get it. Yeah, salad from anywhere. I'm out. But
that doesn't sound great. But
they do have really good milkshakes.
I could get a pop.
Yeah, or lemonade. You like lemonade?
I do.
Okay, they got lemonade.
Okay, yeah. But when I don't know
but
if it's worth
it's the chicken.
And waiting
and
in line
chicken,
for
then,
a lemonade
yeah.
and
yeah,
a
I got
fry.
It.
Well, yeah.
Maybe
but,
one
yeah,
day
you
when the kids eat it.
Take your family there. And
yeah. I don't know. They've got to be older. They are such picky eaters. I don't think they'll eat it either.
I'm talking about Colin.
Oh. Colin's never eaten it. Maybe he's had it once during the pandemic when it was like trending. Remember, there was all these like fast food restaurants competing for the best chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
I think he might have tried it. I don't know. Anyway, you guys, it is official. Ken Siverud has been named the 16th president of the University of Michigan. We talked about it yesterday, but it is now officially official. Yes. So the school's Board of Regents unanimously voted to name him president in a meeting on Monday afternoon. And during their announcement, the board called him a fearless listener, a gifted collaborator, and a forward thinker.
Okay.
Yeah, so cool. There you go. So he all is right. a University of Michigan alum.
Yes, he is.
Which is great. Yeah.
And former professor.
Yeah. And he says he plans to spend lots of time getting to know the faculty and students to determine what should be top priority on the list of issues to tackle. And when it comes to his salary, it sounds like his base salary will be $2 million annually and can increase, obviously, based upon...
the longer he stays.
Yeah.
And performance.
Yeah.
Hey, good for him.
You want one more quickly?
Yeah.
Kid Rock's Rock the Country Tour will once again be dropping into Hastings, Michigan. So the tour, which will feature tons of artists, Jason Aldean, Brantley Gilbert, Ashley Cook, Uncle Cracker, will stop at the Barry Expo Center August 8th and 9th. The tickets go on sale Friday. And the tour is going to take him to 8 different cities. And he's going to be performing with different artists in each city. And there's a ton of people. Jelly Roll, Blake Shelton, Miranda Lambert, Ludacris, Nelly. The list goes on and on and on.
It's Heather with the news. All right. We will talk more hockey 650. We'll get those car flags out. I want to know on a scale of 1 to 5. Can you fit 5 car flags? 1 to 4 might be
a
better scale.
Oh, yeah. No, you can fit an extra. Yeah.
Okay, John. 1 to 5 car flag scale at 650. Coming up next, it's the QB switcheroo. It's 97.1. Okay, we have a fun game to play. It's the QB switcheroo. Tom, you have a list of quarterbacks, all who made the playoffs. And the question is, Jared Goff, would you switch him for this guy?
Correct. So 14 quarterbacks here on this list, all postseason quarterbacks, whether they won or lost this past weekend, you saw them play. It was a great weekend of football for the most part. All right, the first two on the list, we're going to kind of rule out, right? Number one, Josh Allen. Everybody's taking Josh Allen over Jared Goff.
Correct.
Sorry, I'll turn my mic on. Yes.
Works better that way.
Yeah.
Everybody's taking Matthew Stafford over Jared Goff, right?
Yes.
Right now, in the moment. Yes.
Okay, yes. All right.
And so let's just clarify. We're taking them for the here and now.
Yes. And this is a hypothetical fun game. We're not getting into the mud and all that.
Contracts
just,
or anything.
Would you rather have this guy than Jared Goff? All right. So first one, Justin Herbert.
This is a tough one for me because I'm a big Justin Herbert fan, but right now I would say no. I mean, you look at the turnovers, and it's hard to get a judge of him because that offensive line was decimated. He was, in large part, running for his life, yet they still won. They didn't have a running game all season long. At times they did, but they still won. However, I'll take Jared Goff right now.
Yeah, it's not like Jared Goff had much of a run game and any of the big spots this season, yet he finished with a ton of touchdowns, very few interceptions, high quarterback rating, high passing yards, and we just watched Herbert fall flat on his face. So I'll take Goff.
Would you rather have Trevor Lawrence or Jared Goff?
I'd take Goff.
I would take Goff as well. Still more yards, four less interceptions this year. His decision-making, although, I mean, you start to get into, and this opens the door for all of those, gotta have a mobile quarterback.
All right, this is the one that I think is the automatic no, and I almost think we need a laugh track for it. Aaron Rodgers over Jared Goff.
No.
Yeah, I mean, this is where you get the J-Mo laugh, right? It's silly to think about this. Obviously, at the peak of his career, we would take Aaron Rodgers, Hall of Fame quarterback. But right now, no.
Yeah, peak of his powers, MVP, Super Bowl, all that stuff. But that's clearly in the rearview mirror.
And he might be retiring, and we don't want a retired quarterback.
Yeah, that is a good point, Tom. We want someone to play games next season for us. By the way, for those that watched last night, like a very Pittsburgh performance, a double-digit loss in the playoffs. Again, that's now five in a row.
But it's, what, seven in a row losses?
Yeah,
they haven't won in the postseason since 2016.
Yep.
This one's interesting, I think. Bryce Young or Jared Goff?
No, it's not interesting.
Why is this interesting to you?
Are you kidding me? You want a little person running around back there that has to stand on his tippy toes to throw the ball? And I know, hey, they were in the postseason, but they didn't have a winning record.
You just mentioned that he can move around a little bit.
Oh, is that the only definition?
You don't
want to right, yeah. To answer all those people that want just a simple mobile quarterback.
All right, next one. And I find this one super interesting right now because the heat is on in Philly. Jalen Hurts or Jared Goff?
I'd take Jalen Hurts. And I think their offense was poorly organized this season. There's real talk about changing the offensive coordinator in Philadelphia. I've seen Hurts.
Oh, you mean they made a bad hire at coordinator after losing theirs?
Yeah, no kidding. I've seen Hurts roll up 300 passing yards in the Super Bowl. I've seen him win a Super Bowl. I know what he's capable of, and I think it's a higher ceiling than Jared Goff. I would rather have Jalen Hurts.
If you had asked me this question last year, I would have said Jalen Hurts.
It's a no-brainer.
You're asking me this question this year, and I would say Jared Goff. Jalen Hurts looked very afraid to throw an interception. He's not taking chances anymore, and maybe it's because there's not a great relationship between him and A.J. Brown, his number one receiver. What should be his number one receiver? Devontae Smith, yes. Goddard, yes.
Some of this is he's got a great defense, so don't turn the ball over, and he doesn't turn the ball over.
No, he doesn't, but there you also need to score points to win. They weren't able to score points to win because he wasn't able to take enough chances. That by the time he actually threw the ball to A.J. Brown, A.J. Brown forgot how to catch.
He looks like he was told this year not to run. And let Jalen Hurts be Jalen Hurts.
Yes.
And that's what they need to change OC. And, you know, he's got probably a couple years left where he can be pretty mobile still.
Yeah.
Let him be himself. Next guy, divisional foe, Jordan Love or Jared Goff?
Jared Goff. And this one, he's not even close. Jordan Love loves to throw the interception, the turnover at the worst time. He's more apt to do that than actually get something done.
And it's interesting because he cut down the turnovers this season. He had four touchdowns in their playoff loss. I thought he actually bridged the gap or tried to close the gap, but I'd still have Jared Goff.
You hear the afternoon show, they always attack you for going after Jordan Love and hating on him. I would accuse them of being Jordan Love honks.
Yeah, I mean, how about this? Did Jared Goff throw more touchdowns than Love this year? Yeah, he did.
Yes, he did.
Did he have more yards? A higher quarterback rating?
11 more. He threw two less interceptions, but 11 less touchdowns.
Right. Again, higher quarterback rating, more passing yards.
Yeah, 1,200 less passing yards.
Yeah.
We moved to QBs we didn't see play this weekend. Bo Nix or Jared Goff?
No, Bo Nix is the limiting factor for the Denver Broncos. Tremendous defense. They have skilled players. And I know there were times this year where Bo Nix did play well, but he is the limiting factor. Jared Goff's not the limiting factor for the Lions offense.
No, Bo Nix had a couple, to your point, standout performances, including when he faced Green Bay. He threw for 300 yards and four touchdowns. The problem is that was the outlier game this season for Bo Nix. There's still more meat on the bone. He's a young quarterback, but he's not where Goff is.
I misspoke there. I had C.J. Stroud as next on the list. He played last night. C.J. Stroud or Jared Goff?
I'd still take Jared Goff. C.J. Stroud threw for, 1,500 less yards this year. And I know that he missed some games. So the total numbers aren't necessarily a factor, but after year one, we thought, oh my goodness, C.J. Stroud exploding into the NFL. Since then, he's been very pedestrian.
To your point, more interceptions than Jared Goff this season and
less games.
Less games.
Next one on the list. This is intriguing. Drake May or Jared Goff?
Drake May is a borderline MVP quarterback. I would rather have the young, blossoming superstar quarterback. I'd take Drake May.
I think this is a great example of Drake May having a very similar skill set in regards to being able to distribute the ball, being able to do a lot of things that Jared Goff does, yet it's Jared Goff that is mobile. So I would take Drake May.
Imagine asking this 1 year ago today. Sam Darnold or Jared Goff?
I give you the same answer I'd give you last year that I give you today. I'd rather have Jared Goff. Sam Darnold has some issues with the turnovers. He's had some issues in the red zone. And it's not like you're getting some high ceiling with Sam Darnold. It would be like if I said, you don't get any more mobility, but you get more mistake prone. No, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, this year Sam Darnold was protected better than Jared Goff. His numbers in terms of, you know, sacks are there, but he still threw 14 interceptions.
Yeah, how about this? The only two quarterbacks that threw more picks than Sam Darnold, Geno Smith and Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I'll take Jared Goff.
Another divisional foe, Caleb Williams or Jared Goff?
You want to go first?
So it's spicy because Caleb is making wild plays, but I think down in and down out, I'd rather have the precision, the accuracy, the time on target of Jared Goff. Now ask this in a year or two, and this may be a very different answer. But today, the question is today, I would rather have Goff.
Right, and that's exactly what I put. I said, not yet. And the potential is there, but there are still some moments where you're like, there's a wide open receiver and he sails it on him. I'm like, what are you doing? And it's not that we don't see misfires from Jared Goff either. I just believe that where Jared Goff is in his knowledge of the game and when to throw the ball away, when to dirt the ball, when to try and fit it into a tight spot, I would take Jared Goff over Caleb Williams right now.
And here's the thing. He took a big leap from year one to year two. This is not an anti-Caleb Williams. We're in Detroit. We hate the Chicago Bears quarterback. Last year, he was responsible for a ton of sacks, and he didn't take a lot of chances. This year, sacks were cut significantly, extended plays, and took more chances. He grew up a lot year one to year two. He takes a similar leap in year three and year four. He's going to be the best quarterback in this division.
Yeah, and I think the one knock, his completion percentage has got to go up. He was the one little thing that happened Saturday night people overlooked because of the dramatic victory was he was 50% passing.
He had two picks, although one of them, it looked like Luther Burden was supposed to run an in route and just kind of left his quarterback out to dry.
All right, the last one. I'm going to give you some time here. This is what triggered this list yesterday. There was a tone on ticket text yesterday, several unsolicited texts. Brock Purdy or Jared Goff? And these people said this is why you can't win with Goff, because Purdy and his ability to just move in the pocket.
I think they're the same tier of quarterback.
Yeah,
Purdy had a couple picks in that playoff game. Did we watch the same playoff game? It's not
he didn't
like
have
he
four.
Look, Goff's never had four in a
we
game.
We had three last year in a fumble.
I know.
Well, I would rather have Kyle Shanahan calling plays and what he can do with the quarterback, because it was Brock Purdy. And this is where you see Mac Jones come in for eight games. They keep their head above water. They still win more than they lose. To me, that is the system. Now, I'm not going to sit there and say that Brock Purdy's not a good quarterback. He is, but I think it's even. So I'll stay with Jared Goff.
You'll stay with Goff? All right, I'll be spicy. I'd rather have Brock Purdy.
Okay. Why? Why? Real quick,
because
why?
Because I think he can hit his mobility just and pocket presence would help this offense and offensive line tremendously.
How about him being a little injury prone? Jared Goff doesn't miss games.
Yeah, that's a good one. Durability is probably his biggest knock right now. I don't know if that's coincidental or something that happens all the time yet.
Like, just
like
so people
picking his injury, like it reminds me of kind of Matthew Stafford when he got hurt early in his career. That the injuries aren't related. It's just bad luck. Okay, Maybe Joe Burrow, too.
I kept track of this. I only took four playoff quarterbacks over Jared Goff. John, I don't know if you kept track as we did this.
I did. Let me see here.
The only four I took were Allen, Stafford, Hurts, and May.
Oh, I only took three.
Okay.
I took Allen, Stafford, and Drake May.
And I know we're up against this. Let me just make this point concisely. For people who are going, well, you guys are way too high on him. I watch Goff this year. He's not very good. Jared Goff finished this season with the second most passing touchdowns in the NFL. The second most passing yards in the NFL, and he was third in quarterback rating behind the two guys that people are fighting over for MVP. He did this with a battered offensive line where he was sacked more times this year than at any point in his career, and a run game that didn't show up in any big games. So if you think we're being homers about it, I think the thing has turned a little too negative on Goff. Fix the O-line, and we'll be talking about him the way we should. Mm-hmm. It's 97-1. Nearly gave that one away, but the Wings pick up 2 points. and have the most in the Eastern Conference. Your first place Detroit Red Wings, courtesy of Andrew Kopp. That's Ken Cal on the call. Kopp with a multi-point night. John, we got a first place hockey team.
Yes, we do.
And we want to carve out some time for them. So we want participation from Hockey Town. Everybody's in a good mood right now with Fedorov night last night. We want to know about buy-in. On a scale of 1 to 5 car flags, where are you at? We'll give you our answers. I want to read some of the text that we got about the QB switcheroo. John, guys, Caleb was the second least accurate quarterback in the whole league. We've both seen what they can do in a Ben Johnson offense. You guys are right to take Goff over Caleb for now.
Well, the big difference is Jared Goff is in what, year 9? Mm-hmm. And Caleb Williams is in year 2. Yeah. I wouldn't expect a second-year quarterback. I mean, if you're talking about a second-year quarterback, Drake May. That's the guy that, and he was one of my three that I would take over Goff because his completion percentage is 72%.
Yeah.
And he does, he's very similar skill set in terms of a passer, in terms of awareness, being able to get rid of the ball. But the one thing that he has more than Jared Goff is obviously his mobility.
What Jared Goff are y'all watching? Your guys' love for him makes me sick to my stomach. All caps, he sucks.
Okay, well.
Okay, then.
There's nothing that we're going to do to change your mind.
Purdy behind this O-line would die. It doesn't matter if you're mobile or not when the line is bad. And you're always going to have, if you're trouble running the football, you're going to have trouble with your offense.
Agree.
Okay. Goff had a 5-interception game against Houston.
About 2 years ago, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not this year, but last year. I was talking about playoffs because I think it came up that someone threw 4 interceptions in the playoffs. And I said, well, Goff hasn't. He hasn't in the playoffs.
Well, how many did he throw last year against?
3.
Yeah.
And he had the fumble. Tom was quick on the trigger.
Tomato, tomato. 3 or 4.
Yeah. Herbert had 4 this year. I think that might have been who it was.
Last year. Herbert didn't have any interceptions this year.
Oh, excuse me. Yes, correct. Okay, Goff would have thrown for 500 yards with an average of 4.7 seconds to throw this weekend if he had the Eagles team around him.
Yeah, I do think I agree with that. I mean, you think about what Jared Goff did this year with 4,500 yards passing and the amount of touchdowns. He had 2nd in touchdowns, 2nd in yards passing, and he was sacked 38 times. His completion percentage, top 5, mm-hmm. and he was sacked 38 times. It doesn't even account the amount of times that he got rid of the ball before he was sacked.
So open lines, 248-539-9797, something to chew on with the playoff quarterbacks. We went through all 14 that made the playoffs. Would you have Goff or blank? Okay, John, buy-in on the Red Wings. As we sit today, your car flag ranking 1 to 5. Mm-hmm. I know you could realistically fit 1 on each window. 1 to 4 is kind of a weird scale. We're going to do 1 to 5. Just humor us and work with us.
For all you truck or I know you don't know how this is, but there are, you can use the trailer hitch.
Yeah.
So truck, SUV owners, anybody with a somewhat of a manly car. Can you add a fifth?
You could have 5 car flags. Yes.
Yours would just go nowhere. You'd probably go in reverse.
I could put it on the little windshield wiper on the back.
You'd have to put a window sticker on. Anyway, so we're going to do 1 to 5.
1 to 5 is just better than 1 to 4. 1 to 5 to gauge your level of buy-in with our hockey team. It is January. We have not entered the stretch run, but we're past the halfway point now, John. In terms of games played, we're more than halfway through. And the Red Wings are the first place team in the Eastern Conference. Not on the bubble, barely in by 2 points or 3 points or 4 points. They're comfortably in right now, and they're playing as well as you could have hoped at this point in the season.
Mm-hmm. And so I'll go first because I am very curious as to what you're going to say. I know that you're inching towards some confidence, but on a scale of 1 to 5, I'm going to go with 4 car flags. And I'm doing that because, one, I don't want to be just a ride in the fence, right in the middle, which I'm sure that's probably closer to. And we're not going 3-point whatever.
How could you have point something car flags?
No,
like fabric from a different
trust
flag?
If that's available, I'm sure you would do it. And my number one reason is Todd McClellan.
Okay.
The fact that, okay, they've had 1 4-game losing streak this year. And he seems to be a coach that's not going to let any of the little details slide. He's going to call things out, whether it's behind the scenes or it's in the media. He is going to let his feelings know, let his players know. And having played for a coach exactly like that in Marty Schottenheimer, players appreciate that. They want a coach that's not going to, you know, gloss over the little details, because it is all about winning. It's all about getting to the playoffs. It's all about maximizing your years as a professional hockey player. You don't want to have any wasted years. And I don't think Todd McClellan is going to allow any wasted opportunities.
We're now into a full year of Todd McClellan. I think it's pretty obvious he's been an upgrade.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There's no question he's been an upgrade. Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of areas that I feel like this hockey team has improved. One is they've got a legit goalie. Since December 1st, nobody's been better in the sport than John Gibson. He's been a legit number one goalie this team had been missing. Makes a difference. You got a shutdown pair. I mean, when you play damn near half the game with Seider and Edvinson on the ice, you're in an advantage spot. They're better defensively. Their penalty kill has moved from 32nd, the worst in the league, to 16th.
Oh, you're building up the tees, aren't you?
It's an average, it's at least an average PK unit.
You're not going to tell us until the 7 o'clock
hour. I'm going to tell you after this. How many car flags? We want to hear from you guys. 97.1.